good to see you, Raven. Welcome home.
This isn't my home.
It was once.
No, it was your home. I just lived here. I barely even recognize it now.
You know, I have plans for this place. I mean to turn it into a real campus. University. Not just for mutants, either. For humans, too. Living and working. Growing together.
You know, I really believed that once. I really believed we could change them.
We did.
Just because there's not a war doesn't mean there's peace. You want to teach your kids something, teach them that. Teach them to fight. Otherwise, they might as well live in this house for the rest of their lives.
You still sound just like him. You sound just like Eric.
That's why I'm here. He's resurfaced.
The whole world will be looking for him.
But you can help me find him before they do.
Oh, yeah. Welcome everybody to the latest episode of Cinema Royale. I am Travis Hobson of the Punch Drunk Critics, Examiner.com, and a bunch of other places. And this is one of those weeks I'm really excited. No, not because it's Memorial Day, you know, weekend, and we get an extra day off. I don't get any days off in this job. But because it is X-Men week. I know everybody loves the Avengers or whatever, but I'm an X-Men fan, have been my entire life. So anytime there's a new X-Men movie out, I get excited. And this week we got X-Men Apocalypse. Just heard a clip right there with James McAvoy and Jennifer Lawrence returning to their familiar roles as Xavier and Mystique. Michael Fassbender is back as Magneto. And you've got Oscar Isaac playing the immortal villain Apocalypse. And this is a film that I've been kind of like a little bit worried about, you know, because, you know, the X-Men are, you know, I think they're Marvel's most important team. Yeah, they don't treat them like that in the comics anymore, unfortunately. But they're they're Marvel's most socially relevant team. You know, they're the ones that are the most topical dealing with issues of diversity and racism. But X-Men Apocalypse, I never got the feeling any of that was going to be included in this particular movie. Like, you see echoes of it in X-Men First Class and X-Men Days of Future Past, even in the promotion. But I never really saw it in X-Men Apocalypse. So we're going to talk about that a little bit in just a few minutes. Whether or not it's actually there or not. We're going to talk about that with my friend Julian Lytle. He's also a fellow Punch Drunk critic and somebody who loves comics as I do. It's going to be fun talking with him because I have some things I want to ask him about kind of the connection between the comics and the movies right now. Marvel's doing some very awful things with their comics. And I'm worried that it's going to start to affect the movies. And I want to get his opinion on that. And the same thing goes with Warner Brothers. Warner Brothers did some things in the comics as well. And I want to know if perhaps he sees that as affecting their approach to the movies. And we talked last week about Johns taking over DC Films. Not taking over, well, co-running DC Films and bringing a different kind of attitude to the movies, a more uplifting approach to the movies. And we just saw Warner Brothers, we saw DC Comics have their whole rebirth event, which is an attempt to make the comics lighter again. And, you know, and so who runs these things matters, but do the comics have an impact on the movies now? So I'm going to ask Julian a little bit about that. At least I intend to. We tend to ramble a lot. We tend to veer off into different subjects because we both have so much in common. So who knows where this thing will go. Hopefully we have time to talk about all that. And if we do, we'll also try to say a few words about Alice Through the Looking Glass, the sequel to Tim Burton's Alice in Wonderland. So we're going to try and do all that. I don't know how much we'll get in during this hour. Who the hell knows? With us, it could go in any direction. We could end up talking about video games or something totally different at this point. Who knows? But we should be calling in just a minute. Of course, this is Cinema Royale. You can You can find us and find me on Twitter at Punchy Critic. And I also encourage you to follow the show on iTunes, as well as TuneIn and SoundCloud and a whole bunch of other places you can find the show. I've been doing my best over the last few weeks to make this show as widely accessible as possible, and you guys have let me know that you're doing something. I appreciate that. We put out the show's only been back for 2 weeks, and already we've done 6 episodes basically. This is the 4th regular episode, and we've done a couple of in the arena episodes, and this week you had 2 in a row. You had an interview with the directors of the Anthony Weiner documentary, the award-winning Anthony Weiner documentary. That is up on the site right now as well. You can find that at blogtalkradio.com/cinemaroyale. And also, we had an interview with Rebecca Miller, the writer and director of Maggie's Plan, which is the film starring Greta Gerwig, Ethan Hawke, and Julianne Moore. A movie I saw at Sundance and, fantastic filmmaker, and I loved having a chance to talk to her. So be sure you go and find those, because those are some great interviews in my opinion. All right, so let's reach out to Julian here and make sure he's calling in. Make sure it's okay. I don't write the same technical difficulties we had. Oh, there he is. There's Julian. What's up, man?
Hey, Travis. Not much. Today's X-Men Day.
It is X-Men Day, man. Okay. It is X-Men Day, and I was just telling the audience, everybody else loves the Avengers movies. I love the X-Men. I like Marvel. I love the Avengers stuff too, but X-Men is my joint, and it has been my whole life. So I look forward to these movies more than anything else. Now, you and I were together at the screening of X-Men Apocalypse, weren't we?
Yep.
Yeah, we were. And we pretty much have an idea. I have somewhat of an idea what you thought of it. Basically, this movie, like I said, stars Oscar Isaac as the villain Apocalypse, and he's thousands of years old, basically the first mutant ever. And he awakens in the present day, and he comes up with a plan to basically his usual plan in the comics is to make mutants the dominant species. It's a survival thing. And so he recruits a number of different mutants: Storm, Psylocke, Magneto, and Angel, to help him accomplish that. And of course, he runs across the X-Men, who we must defeat to do that. But you and I have talked about this a little bit, and while I enjoyed the film as an X-Men fan, it caused me to not like seeing my favorite characters on the screen, although I will never get Longshot, unfortunately, I don't think, my favorite X-Men ever. This movie to me was way too slow. There was a lot of just Apocalypse going around recruiting mutants, and that was not... It was not tremendously exciting for me in the way I hoped this movie would be. It starts off awesome, though. The opening sequence in which Apocalypse is basically born is fantastic. But from that point on, the movie kind of gets too slow for me. What do you think overall?
Oh, man, I don't know. I kind of like the pace of it. I like that you built up a little bit more character. I like that it dealt with some of the fallout from the last movie of essentially... Since time is different, Mystique being like the hero of legend for young mutants.
Yeah.
I liked Magneto. I liked it that they were able to cram fold in another like cool Magneto story of like how he like really started to hate humanity is when he like lost his family. I liked that part. I think that.
Yeah, that was taken from the comic, from that miniseries from a while back, right? If I remember right.
Yeah, like 20 some years ago, little 90s miniseries.
Yep.
And I was like, yeah, I like that. I like, and I'm not gonna lie, like they just execute Quicksilver way better. controlling the control machines are just, it was just fun. It was like, it just works.
Yeah.
And oh yeah, and the spoiler bit of the Wolverine scene. The Wolverine, that I watched that scene over and over again. It was the exact Marvel Comics Presents. It's like, okay, you got rid of a whole movie in 5 minutes. That works.
Yeah. No, you're right. I agree with you about that. That scene with Wolverine, and you know, the scene with Wolverine in the Weapon X facility. You know, a lot of people complained about that it felt out of place. I disagree with that. I thought it felt, it was exactly the right way to handle it, because we didn't know what had happened to him after the events of X-Men Days of Future Past, when he basically pulled out of the water by a disguised Mystique. But with the way the timeline has been altered, I think what it's basically telling us is that no matter what happens, Wolverine is going through this.
Yeah.
You know, like time, time is a fluid thing in the Marvel comics, but some things stand as concrete no matter what. And one of those things that is always going to happen is Wolverine getting that adamantium. And I think that's what that one scene was really trying to prove.
Yeah. Yeah. And I like that. Also, I think it's pretty cool that these stories are now, like, the story is kind of happening in the time period in which, like, you kind of read them. Like, Apocalypse first appeared, like, 1985. It's kind of cool that all this stuff happened in, like, 83. Like, that Wolverine story happened, like, in the late 80s. It fits. Like, I don't know.
That's
a
good point.
The plot for me was really simple. Like, tonally, it worked. Like, I get what the deal is. Apocalypse woke up, the world sucked, and he was like, this is what happened when they betrayed me. This world could be way more better. I want to get rid of all the nukes, and I'm just going to take over. Word. This is my crew. Like, I took your professor.
That the plot is very simple, but it's, at least in terms of Apocalypse, it's simple. It's not simple overall. I think it's a little messy overall. I think they're trying to do a lot of different things. The Magneto storyline could have, I mean, there are multiple storylines here that should have been their own movies. The Magneto probably could have been its own movie, you know? And I would say also, the inclusion of the Dark Phoenix already, again, is another aspect that probably should be its own movie. And it probably will be in the next one. But I feel like
I feel like
you can't tell a Jean Grey story without it having to be about the Phoenix and that bug.
That's not even their fault. Like, that's Marvel's fault ever since they introduced it when they escaped out of that spaceship. It's been like that for that character ever since then. So
that doesn't mean the movies have to be. They go their own direction in so many other different ways. Why can't they do it with Jean?
There's not that much you can do with Jean. She doesn't even get interesting until she becomes the Phoenix. She doesn't even get interesting until then. And so I get it. Like, if you have, it got to the point where you knew what was going to happen. You have Apocalypse, and the only person you can even think about beating them, you got to use her. They bump themselves into a corner, like.
Right. Okay. That's exactly my point. Themselves into a corner, and I felt like, and I think I said this after the movie, I was like, it's like they felt like, you know, the only way they could defeat Apocalypse was by having her become the Phoenix. That's not how it should be. That's not a good enough reason to have the Phoenix be in the movie. And the way they treated the Phoenix, they acted like she was, you know, was just turned it on and off. That's not what it is. That's not how it works. She can't. It's not just something she can pull out like Voltron. Just like, I'm going to turn into Voltron now. It's not. No, that's not how it should be. You know I'm right.
I can roll with it because they didn't change it too many times for me to care now. It's just like, okay, but it's a movie too, so like a comic where, you know, you have to be X Factor, X Men, New Mutants, and all this to, like, for 12 months to get to the next thing. They got 2.5 hours. They're gonna wait a couple more years and use a couple more hours. And then, like, so what, the next movie is Dark Phoenix Saga again, probably. Or there is no more next X-Men movie because it's New Mutants, and then we get Cable. That's what I want. I want more Cable. As long as I get my Cable, I'm good. I get Cable, I get some Deadpool, I maybe get some Cannonball. I can live good. Like,
And this one felt like a setup to whatever's going to come next. Now, the next movie is supposed to be set in the 90s. We don't know if it'll be an X-Men movie or if it'll be a New Mutants movie. We know New Mutants is coming, but we don't know if there'll be an X-Men movie too. Now, I always say when I do this show that spoilers are a thing. So if you don't want to see have anything spoiled, then you might as well cover your ears for about the next 30 seconds to 2 minutes, maybe. Because the post-credit scene after this introduces a villain who was very prominent in the 90s when the next movie will be set. And that is Mr. Sinister. That is who is teased.
Yeah, man.
At the end of this movie. Now, unfortunately, you and I didn't get to see it at our screening because they always jip us on those things. But I probably believe that they didn't actually have it finished yet at that point. And the movie didn't come out for almost 4 weeks after we saw it.
A month, yeah.
Right. So I actually believe they didn't have that scene ready yet. So that's probably why we didn't see it. But basically, it teases Mr. Sinister. And he's a villain, like I said, it was popular in the 90s. And you're right that a lot of these stories center on stories that take place in those particular eras. But the addition of Mr. Sinister I find to be very, very interesting for a number of reasons. One, well, mainly because he has ties to practically every goddamn X-Men around. And
yes,
with the rumors that you know, he's in love with the Summers bloodline. And we just got Cyclops reintroduced. Wolverine, he's expected to make his final appearance in the next Wolverine movie. If Mr. Sinister's around, that means there's going to be clones. And if he's cloning, then I'm expecting X-23. I'm expecting the female Wolverine to show up. That's what I'm thinking.
There's a whole bunch of things. All I know is this: they do need a new bad guy besides Magneto. Or,
yes,
like, another type of, like, character, because, like Magneto's not even a villain anymore. You just kind of just, like, let him chill. So if you could bring Mr. Sinister, which is, like, and then it ties into everything else you want to do. Cable, clones,
yep,
Phoenix Force, Goblin Queen, Inferno. There's a whole bunch of stuff you can go with this when you bring in Mr. Sinister.
Yep.
Well, you can, you know, tie in some stuff from the Uncanny X-Force and even Apocalypse with Evan and they can go a whole bunch of places once you bring in the clones.
You know, my dream X-Men movie would be, and it's not even like a dream X-Men movie. It'd be like a dream X-Men series, like a dream X-Men like trilogy. It would be the Executioner song. Executioner song was and probably always will be my favorite X-Men storyline. And the reason why I love them, but that was always my favorite one. And the reason why I liked it is because it came out at a great period of time creatively for the X-Men. You had awesome creative people behind this. You had all the teams, and you never got to see how distinct each team was better than in that storyline. So you had the X-Men, traditional Dream, and X-Force, who had just broken off from the group. They were the militaristic ones. You had the government-sponsored team and X-Factor. They all clashed, because even though they were fighting for the same thing, they all had different approaches. And then you had all these ones. You had Strife. You had Apocalypse. You had Mr. Sinister. They were all involved. They even had the Dark Riders, who were like my undercover favorite bad guy team for a while.
Dang.
So it's like you had all these things that combined, and he did it so well in 12 issues. And it's like, if I could make an Executioner song live action trilogy or something, I'd be set. I wouldn't have to see anything else. I'd be like, all right, okay, I'm good, I'm done.
I don't even know what my dream thing would be now. It might be Extinction Agenda.
I love Extinction Agenda.
Genosha, the fact they haven't used Genosha yet in these movies.
Yes.
Nor Madripoor. Man, they leaving money on the table with leaving Madripoor out.
You're totally right. I thought the Wolverine was sort of like their stand-in for Madripoor. You know what I mean?
But he was in Japan, so it worked. It worked because it actually was in a comic book. I think they shouldn't have made that first movie. That first movie should have been like Madripoor patch movie. like yep. Wolverine with the eye patch on and the suit and just getting the just rough and rumble trouble. I'm actually sad we losing Wolverine. I don't want to lose Wolverine, man. He gets cooler when he gets old. Wolverine is better old. And the fact that Hugh Jackman is getting older is only going to make him better at it. I don't want him to be all muscly.
I don't see why. He says this every year. Every year there's another movie. He says, I'm done. This time it seems like he actually means it. I find it hard to believe he won't show up for cameos. He doesn't have to. He doesn't have to be the star of a full movie. He can do cameos and be perfectly fine. You know,
yeah, they need to make him the Robert Downey Jr. Like, I just make him, just bring him in, send him back out. Just 5 minutes. That's all you need. 5 minutes in the movie. Yard. That's it. I'm happy.
Exactly. You know, especially if they're going, you know, where they're going to follow the younger characters. Wolverine doesn't need to do much but show up, say something funny, pop a claw. And then that's it. That's all he needs to do. And, you know, teach the kids a lesson and leave. He doesn't need to.
Yeah.
I can't see him going away forever. I just can't.
I hope not. I hope he come back. It's like, okay, I got to have a break. I did my singing and dancing. That's time to put on the jacket.
Exactly. And I kind of feel like Mr. Sinister is going to be like the Thanos of the next group of movies. Like, I don't know if he'll have, like, one full movie that's centered only around him, but I feel like he's going to pop up a bunch of different times in a bunch of different places. Like, if they're going to do, if they're going to do this Gambit movie, which I think is still movies at this point, I don't know if they actually will, he'd be a perfect guy to have, you know, kind of pulling the strings in that, you know, an expert.
Well, he
movie,
is, because he's the reason. Like,
he
made Gambit, like, he works for Sinister, like, it all works.
The mutant masker, yeah. And the rumors about the next Wolverine movie is going to be facing the Reavers and Donald Pierce, which is interesting.
Oh, so they're going to turn old man Logan into the Australian era. I can live with that.
Yeah, I kind of like that idea, too. Especially if they redo that classic, iconic scene where he gets crucified. You know?
Be excellent.
Yeah.
That'd be excellent. Maybe they could pull Jubilee into that. I don't know how she's going to say the same age.
They shouldn't get shit to do in X-Men Apocalypse, unfortunately.
She'll never get nothing to do. She's the best. And she's the best X-Man. She's my most favorite X-Man. And she gets love.
Really?
Jubilee? Yeah, man. Look at all the stuff she's done with her having,
like
the weakest powers.
I like her.
She's the best.
She teamed up with
Ghost Rider.
Not who I would have expected you to say as your favorite X-Men.
She's such a G. She's a G. She's way better than Shadowcat. She's a G.
Those are bold words, my friend.
Shadowcat, she got too many geek crushes. They be lovely. They boost her up. She's also too high sanctimonious.
She's still a vampire, is she? Is she still a vampire, Jubilee?
Maybe. I don't know, man. That's I stopped terrible. Reading. They don't treat the X-Men right anyway.
Yeah.
The whole universe got rebuilt. Who knows?
Yeah, I see. That's why I didn't know, because I stopped reading it for a while. So I'm on a significant hiatus from the X-Men right now. And
Yeah, like, who knows what's happened? Like, Wolverine's dead. Old man Logan's around.
Yeah.
You know,
I have no
Laura
clue.
Is Wolverine now, so who knows? Who knows what's happening?
Yeah, I know. They could
probably, I don't even know if Cyclops is alive.
But he is, or he isn't?
I don't know. he died in Secret Wars, but he could be back. Who knows? I don't know. Who knows?
What really depresses me is that I don't even really care right now with what they're doing over there. And they haven't given me a reason to care. I mean, every time I learn something new, I'm like, this is not what I was.
Who cares? They already said they're going to relaunch in the fall. Like, and no one gives them any flack for it. DC does it they do a couple years after everyone complains and they get low sales. And it's a big thing to do, and everybody got trash. And Marvel does it every 13 months, and everybody's like, okay, who cares?
Well, let's be perfectly honest. Marvel gets a free pass on pretty much everything. And that's not just the comics. They get a free pass with their movies too. They've had a lot of successes. Their movies have been successes, but they've had movies that have not been successes also, and nobody holds them accountable for that. But Warner Brothers have a couple of movies that aren't successful. It's like, oh my God, the whole franchise has been.
Or even if it is kind of successful, like if you make almost $900 million, it's a flop.
Right.
Somehow,
exactly.
You make that much money, it's a flop. Like, Ant-Man can make half $1 billion, but it's all great.
Yeah. Like, Thor made, $400 million worldwide, but it's okay. It's like, oh, okay. All right. Whatever. Marvel's got its share of mediocre films out there too. I've said plenty of times before that I hadn't really been blown away by any of the Marvel movies until the Avengers, and then since then there have been a few like Guardians of the Galaxy and the last two Captain America movies. Those have been like the only ones that have blown me away. The rest of them I thought were merely decent to good. Like they're good, but that's it.
Yeah.
You know?
The Captain America
movie. Marvel doesn't take heat for anything, though.
No. Because it's McDonald's. Better yet, it's Five Guys. It's Five Guys. So it's like it tastes really good, but it's still not that good for you. You know what I'm saying? The French fries, there's so many French fries in the bag, and the bag is greasy, so everybody's happy.
No, you're absolutely right. And, it's something I wanted to ask you about. It's sort of relationship between the comics and the movies right now, especially over there at Marvel. You look at what Marvel's doing right now. We just saw a major reveal about Captain America in comics, and which I think is silly. I know it'll be short term, no matter what they say, but still,
it might be over in the next issue. Like literally, next issue might even come out in the next 2 weeks. It could be over like in 2 weeks, like.
Right.
I don't even understand why people are tripping out.
Right. The only thing is, I got a lot of comments from people about it when I made my comments about how this fucking stupid. But I mean, look, I'm not an idiot. I've been reading these comics all my entire life. I know a gimmick when I see one. And this is a gimmick. Mm-hmm. And Marvel, and one of the reasons why I stopped reading comics is because Marvel became too reliant on gimmicks rather than stories. And that started to bug me. I know that this is short term. I mean, look, they told us that Spider-Man, dying and dying was a permanent thing too. And Tom Brevoort came out and said the same thing about this. Oh, it's permanent. This has always been planned. That was the thing that bugged me. That was the part of the aspect of it that tripped me out was him acting as if they always had in mind from the beginning. Bullshit. I mean, come on, man. Tell me that this is what's going to stick for a while. Okay, I get it. That's a marketing ploy. But don't give me this shit. It was always playing for Captain America. Get out of here.
Yeah. It's the fact that they lie so much. It's like, come on, why are you lying? It's not, at least, DC gets flagged, and they maybe make some mistakes, and they may even handle something poorly, but they never say, like, yo, we planned this all along, and this is going to stay this way forever. They're kind of honest. It's like,
hey,
it's
going to
last for 12 months.
Correct. We're fixing it. We're trying to fix what's wrong. I respect that. And going back to what I was talking about, the connection, between the comics and the movies, the DC rebirth that's going on right now is an attempt to basically make their comics lighter again. And bringing in Jeff Johns.
Because they messed up.
Bringing in Jeff Johns as, the co-runner of DC Films is probably going to bring that same attitude. Would you agree?
We'll see, because I think there's some problems that he helped create, but at least on the movie side, I think he's going to do a decent job because he does know how the movie industry works, since he was an assistant to Richard Donner for so many years.
Yeah.
And he, came in to write comics late, and he can go back and forth. And I have to give him credit. Like, he's a big part of that Flash show, and that Flash show was fire. And the Flash show do everything that I wanted the Flash show to do. And it seems like they're moving pieces around already. So, he might be the right person to do it. I like the fact that this was his last comic book this week for a while. Like he did the rebirth. He's like, all right, I gotta go save the movies, and he's leaving. So we'll see what they do.
There's no guy working in Hollywood right now who's more busy than Jeff Jones is. Between the comic movies and TV, I don't know when he sleeps. I don't know when he possibly could.
I can't feel too bad for him. He lives in L.A., so he probably lives near the beach in a nice house.
And no time to enjoy
if I got to wake up. whatever. If I got to wake up, go to the office in the sun, listen to some good music, and I just work around with people in suits. If my life was kind of like Entourage a little bit, like the Ari Gold side, I wouldn't be too mad at that. I could deal with that. I can live the Ari Gold life.
Nah, I feel that. All right, so take a quick break for a second. I'm going to come back, and I want to get your quick thoughts on Alice Through the Looking Glass, and then we're going to let you go. I know you got things to do like I do. But I know. We can talk about one good thing a week, so we got to talk about something else. So we're going to take quick break, and then you and I are going to go through this movie real quick. So we'll be right.
Matter of the Hatter. The former.
No, the latter.
Tweedles. He's mad.
The Hatter? Yes, I know. That's his muchness. That's what makes him so... him.
But he's grown darker, less dafter, denies himself laughter. Mm.
And no scheme of ours can raise any sort of smile. We'd rather hope you might help us save him.
Okay, first of all, I had to give you a little bit of the X-Men theme. Actually, I gave you the whole X-Men theme because I know it's just going to be in you all day after hearing it because it's going to be in mine all day. Every time I hear it, it stays in my head for like 2 days. But, you know, you like that. I do appreciate it, Julian.
Oh, am I on now?
Yeah, you're on.
Hello?
You're on.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I got this other rap song in my head right now, so I don't know if it can defeat it right now. So I don't know if X-Men's going to win today. It might lose.
All right. That was unfortunately followed up by a clip from Alice Through the Looking Glass. Now, look, I was talking to somebody about this not long before we went to the screening of it. And I think it was our friend Nell. And I was telling her that, you know, she asked me what Wilson was set. And I was like, my thoughts on it were that it came out in 2010. In 2010, it was coming on the heels of Avatar. Was, you know, huge CGI, huge 3D. People were really fascinated by the potential seen in 3D. You know, say what you want about Avatar now. Back then, people were amazed by the special effects. And I felt that Alice in Wonderland sort of took advantage of that and rode that wave of excitement for 3D towards its $1 billion success. Now, in retrospect, that movie is so goddamn boring. and so cold and so I can't stand watching it now. And I felt like this one is exactly the same. In terms of the way it looks exactly the same, but it's just as cold and lifeless. But the story is even worse. It's not related to anything Lewis Carroll ever wrote. And I think you and I talked about this. Pretty much Alice is the villain of this movie, in my opinion.
She's terrible. She's a terrible person.
She's awful. And basically, the story, as you heard in that clip, has, you know, the Mad Hatter, played by Johnny Depp, is feeling depressed and angry over a memory that he has of his dead family. So Alice takes it upon herself to go back in time by stealing this chronosphere thing from the literal master time, Sacha Baron Cohen. And in the process, she sets the whole fabric of reality in danger. And for no apparent reason, basically just because the Mad Hatter is depressed, she puts all reality in danger. And time is on a pursuit of her to try and fix things. So he's the hero.
Yeah, he's a good guy. He's not even bad.
Right. This movie doesn't
find out that the Queen of Hearts is actually not even a bad person.
She's not.
Like, she was made this way because of Alice and everybody else treating her terribly.
Yeah. Now, the things she gets treated terribly for are about as trivial as they could possibly be.
Well, no, I guess, no, it's like, well, it's like making fun of a disabled person or a person that's like, has like a medical condition. And it's like people are legitimately making fun of her, like laughing at her in public and just being mean to her. And her sister lied to her mom, which caused it. And then Alice, it's all Alice's fault. Alice is a terrible hero. She's terrible. She's a villain. She's a monster. Yeah. She should be put down. I hate this movie. The movie didn't even make sense. I still don't understand how can time put the Mad Hatter in a time loop and the movie continues.
Right. I didn't understand the whole time logistics during the whole time. I was whispering to Rocky that I was like, Julian must be dying over there.
Oh, my God.
It didn't make any sense at all. I didn't get any of it. I didn't understand why, like, such a trivial thing, like the trivial thing between the Red Queen and the White Queen. Okay, yeah. It explains why she's mean, but it doesn't. But it's still not worthy of everything that she does later on. And it's like,
well, I get it because she lied. She freaking lied, and she kept lying, and she just, her freaking head is blown, freaking huge. And
okay,
then
the head thing, I understand. Head thing, she should be really pissed over.
But it's all compounding. It's not just that. It's like she lied to her mom. She never told the truth. She got disabled. She got this freaking mental condition, and it get worse. And then she makes her a fool in public because of this freaking Mad Hatter laughing at her. And then, because she's mad for being treated terribly, her dad is like, you're not fit to be queen. Your sister's going to be queen. Who's a fucking liar? The movie's stupid. The movie's terrible.
I don't understand.
Tim Burton should be ashamed of himself.
Yeah, well, James Bobbin directed this one. It wasn't Tim Burton, but he might as well have been.
Whoever this dude is.
Yeah, this is James
Bob,
the guy who did the Muppet movie a few years ago, and
wait,
a lot of fun.
Because the Muppet movie was fire.
I believe he did the first one.
That was a good one. What did they do? I'm blaming Disney. No, because he made a good Muppet movie.
Yeah, let me make sure that I'm pretty sure James Bobbin did that. He was the director of the Muppets, and he directed Muppets Most Wanted. He did both of them.
Nah, I don't blame Disney. Somebody got their hands involved. Who's executive producer? Who put their hands in? That don't make no sense.
He also did Flight of Conchords and the Ali G show. And so, yeah, James Bobbin has been around. But
everything else he did is fire.
In fact, I interviewed him once for one of the Muppet movies. So, yeah. But
okay. There's another villain to play.
No, I don't necessarily blame him. I mean, he did what he was probably hired to do, which was, you know, mimic Tim Burton visually. And that's what he did. I mean, the movie looks exactly like the first one. It's you know, I'm not one of those people who hates, you know, majority green screen movies. I don't. But as Jungle Book showed us and Life of Pi showed us, you can make those movies and still have them feel, you still have them have emotion. You know what I mean? But these movies don't. These movies are just.
Well, maybe
kind of
it says
stagnant.
Your hero in a green screen movie needs to be a really talented Indian person. Clearly.
Maybe an Indian person to be in those movies.
A talented, super talented Indian person, because clearly they're more successful than these white British actors in the full green screen movies, because they suck.
Oh man, this was one of the most painful screening experiences I had. I could sitting through this movie, and the only thing that made it, you know, marginally tolerable was having you and Rocky next to me. So
God, I was so mad. Mel was mad too, because she's like, "This has nothing to do with the book."
Oh yeah, she was complaining about that afterwards. I was like, "They never promised that it would." She's like, "The title says it does," and I was like, well,
yeah, that's true." Same way I would feel if I was in certain comic books. This has nothing to do with this comic. Burn it, flames.
And I'm really curious to see what this is going to do. It's going to make $1 billion. Not because, like I said, people were really fascinated by the 3D back then. I mean, this had one of the, I think it had one of the highest totals for a 3D movie ever. I think people are less enamored of technology now. And I think they probably by this point are like, yeah, probably take it or leave it.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. Does it come out today? Does it also comes out today?
Yeah, it's out now.
Oh man, I got to deal with the X-Men now. X-Men's in 3D too.
It has to deal with the X-Men. Yep, it has to deal with the X-Men also.
So Wolverine's in 3D. I don't know if the man had to compete Wolverine in 3D. Spoiler alert: Wolverine's in 3D, half butt naked with a mullet. Let's go.
Yeah, I don't think this one's going to do nearly as well, unless it does like bonkers overseas numbers. I don't think it's going to do shit over here, that really. And I don't know if we'll get a third one. Hopefully not.
The fact that Disney is doing so well this year, they can actually throw away an Alice in Wonderland movie. Like, you don't even care if it's really going to make its money back, because Civil War, Zootopia, Jungle Book, everything else is so close. It's making billions of dollars that we could take one L. We could take one hit. We could be all right.
Disney knows that even if this movie doesn't make a ton of money, like, domestically over here, it's either going to make a lot of money or it's going to make a ton in home sales. I mean, no matter what, I think this movie will sell a ton, you know, in home video release. But they're going to make a...
Not if I can help it.
Yeah.
I tell people every day how much they're doing this trash.
Oh, man. Yeah, it is a piece of shit. So... Alice the Looking Glass, you know, I can't recommend a movie enough as I can do for Alice the Looking Glass. And I'm not even going to say, you know, that I'm necessarily overjoyed over X-Men Apocalypse either. If these are only two choices, then you got to go see X-Men Apocalypse. You have to choose that.
Yeah.
You have
I just told people it has Wolverine in it. What do people even... There should be no contest. Like, Nightcrawler has on... the Thriller jacket, like, why
this does.
Movie, that alone gives it a 30%. Like, if it was Rotten Tomato score, that jacket is 30% Rotten Tomato score. Like, that jacket, it doesn't even matter what's in the movie. Nightcrawler has on,
you know,
Thriller jacket.
How awesome it would have been to have a Dazzler and Longshot appearance in the 80s movie. Come on. Why can't
it could have been
it?
Dope. As long as I didn't get Taylor Swift. As long as it wasn't Taylor Swift, I'll be fine. They disrespect Dazzler like that? No, I'll be mad. No. Like, I'm good.
I'm afraid we're going to get Dazzler, like, modern Dazzler. She's not even barely a rock anymore. That's like, I don't want that. I want.
No, you can
I want,
make that work. I can make it work.
I want a Dazzler Lineage team up movie. Can I get that, at least? Can I get that? I'm nervous to get that.
I don't even know why technically she's an X-Men character. Like, Disney should get that back. Just her. Just to make that. That's a Disney Channel show right there. It's just Dazzler show.
No shit.
Albums.
Well,
well,
she's an
albums.
X-Men,
that's
so.
Yeah. But she had a book before that, though. She had her own book.
Yeah, that's true.
Need to work out them deals,
right? I'd love to sit down. If I ever got a chance to sit down and talk with Kevin Feige, I would love to talk to him about what the legal list are for these characters. Because the way Marvel has it set up now, anybody could show up anywhere. I mean, I don't know how they come up with who can be in what movies at this point, because the fucking X-Men are all Avengers now, and the Avengers are X-Men.
Yeah.
I don't know how they do it. It's got to be fucking confusing as hell. It has to be.
How come we haven't got Rick Jones yet? The most important member of the Marvel Universe. He ain't been in the Hulk movie. He ain't been in an Avengers movie.
Yeah. Well, the reason why you ain't seen him in no Hulk movies, and there probably won't be another Hulk movie, is because I think Universal has distribution rights on that. And Marvel's not. Marvel doesn't want to.
But they never made Rick Jones. They ain't put Rick Jones in those movies. Right. They can put him in this movie running around with Mark Ruffalo. He needs a sidekick, too. You can't always be bouncing off of Robert Downey Jr. He can bounce off somebody else.
I agree with you. I'd love to see a Rick Jones movie. But maybe if you see a Rick Jones movie, you'll see him in a Captain Marvel film.
No, it's not, because they're not going to do Captain. They're not going to do the dude. They're not going to have that. It's going to be like he never existed. And it's just going to be freaking Miss Marvel. It's people probably get mad as I call her Miss Marvel, but that's what she was. And real talk, I don't even consider Captain Marvel Marvel. He's freaking Captain Marvel, the DC character. And he's awesome because he has a magic lightning bolt.
Can't wait
Captain Marvel.
If they ever freaking do it. I mean, I know The Rock is attached to the Captain Marvel movie, but Jesus Christ. I mean, they've been talking about that movie forever.
I think it's going to happen. I thought it was on the schedule. I thought it's on the schedule from now to 2020.
I don't think it's on the schedule. That could be wrong.
Who knows, man? Jeff Jobs in charge now. Things are going to change. They already changed some producer guy this week. It's new stuff every week, so it's all different now.
Yeah. No, you're right, and I can't remember the producer's name at this point. But he's prominent. He's worked on Batman vs Superman and basically everything. He's like he's a big guy, and he's been taking off day to day duties now. So it's like, I mean, they're changing around a lot of stuff now. I mean, I'll be very interested in seeing how these things. The Warner Brothers whole thing is going to look very different in like the next year.
I can't wait for Suicide Squad.
Me neither, man. That one should be fun.
That's going to be lit.
And if it's not,
happy.
Well, we'll see what happens.
I'll be defeated if that happens. Not. I'll fall out. That joke is too cool. I can't have it.
Oh, Charles Roven. That's right. The guy was Charles Roven. Charles Roven.
He got defeated.
Charles Roven's a big deal producer over at Warner Brothers. And he's not out of there. He's not, like, fired or anything. He's just not doing the day-to-day shit anymore. So, but he had a ton on his plate. He was doing Justice League, Suicide Squad, Flash, Wonder Woman, and Aquaman. Ain't nobody can handle all that. I mean, so, you know. So I understand why they had to move him around. But I think it's a signal that they're going in a completely different direction. I want to know what happens to Zack Snyder after Justice League. That's what I want to know. I think they're going to move him on to... I think he'll still be part of the whole DC universe, but I think they're going to give him prominent movies after that.
I hope he's not. I hope they just like say, hey, go make some of your own stuff now and some TV shows. Be happy.
Yeah.
Get away from these things.
That could happen. I have a feeling they'll give him like a solo movie or two, but maybe not the big team movies that is meant to be. You know, like the.
I don't want him to touch no more characters. I don't want him touching no more. I want him to go make whatever Zack Snyder ideas.
He's gonna be the director of whatever movie you're looking forward to most. He's gonna be the director of that. So I'm just gonna let you know.
No, man, that can't happen. That can't happen. That's like everything. That's like everything in DC. He's like, yo, he's gonna ruin it.
He's going to direct the Green Lantern Corps movie. Green Lantern Corps movie, just to let you know. So.
They should just get Antoine Fuqua just to make that movie. That Training Day in Space. I always want Training Day in Space, but it's not going to be that. So They should just make a lethal weapon in space.
Lethal
weapon in space.
I want a more visually dynamic director than Antoine Fuqua.
Well, I want a cop movie in space. That's it. It's not that hard.
If I wanted to make, like Antoine Fuqua might be a good director for, like, the Cyborg movie. If they wanted to do another Steel movie, he might be good for that. I don't know if I want to see him doing anything else. So.
I don't know.
All right, Julian, this has been a lot of fun, man. We spent 50 minutes talking about these movies, and we only had to spend maybe 5 minutes talking about Alice, which is perfect. So that's, that's great.
Too much.
But do me a favor and tell people about, because you're not only just on Punch Drunk Critics, but you got other stuff going on. Tell people about your show, your art, where they can find your work. Tell people about all that stuff real quick before you go.
Okay, so you can find me online at thejulianlytle, LYTLE.com. My podcast is called Ignorant Bliss, ignorant-bliss.com. It's where I talk with friends about pop culture, making art, movies, TV, rap music, lots of rap music talk. Episodes are long. It's on SoundCloud. You can find me on any social network at Julian Lytle. Instagram. And then I'll be at Awesome Con next weekend selling my collection of some of my webcomic ants, which is ants.julianlytle.com. And yeah, like that's it. That's all the things moving and shaking.
I'm definitely going to see you at AwesomeCon. I'll be there. I'm only going to be there on Friday. I can't go there, but I'm going to be there on Friday taking pictures, cosplay photos. It's usually all I ever do there. I don't remember what else. And it was impossible getting interviews this year. I mean, I was trying, and they were just like, we don't have very many interviews available. They have like their biggest roster of stars ever. And it's like,
I know, they have everybody.
They're not really allowing many interviews this year. I was like,
everybody there.
Yeah, that's a lot of people. Not many WWE stars. I was hoping they'd have a few more WWE stars, but they only got Ron Simmons, which is great. But
they just went full. They went full movie TV. They got freaking Doctor Who, current Doctor Who. Like I was like, damn.
Yeah. They got like half the cast of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. there.
They got Gotham people there.
Yep. If I run into Elizabeth Henstridge from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I'm going to kidnap her and just take her home. So I hope they know that. I'm just going to let them know.
I hope somebody asks them about how they feel about...
They're revoking my pass right now as we speak.
Hopefully someone asks about how they feel about the fact that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. is it talked about in the movies ever.
Yeah. I'm sure she's going to get asked that question. And I'm sure she'll be like, ugh. But Brett Dalton is there, too. So he's there. There's a few characters. Man. And they're getting moved to 10 p.m. It's like they're getting the death slot. Like Tuesday.
Oh, the nighttime slot.
Yep, Tuesday.
Ooh,
10 p.m.
Oh, yeah, because they want to make it more serious. Yeah, okay.
Some bullshit. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. It's like after I finish watching The Flash, that's awesome. And then iZombie, that's equally awesome. I'm going to really turn to this and watch that. Okay. All right.
Tuesday's going to be rough because Tuesday, WWE's been SmackDown live on Tuesdays now.
I saw. And I was like, man, they're going back to back days.
Yes.
So if it's like a pay per view week, it's like Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, like three straight
days.
Five hours
of WWE in 2 days. And if you on a pay per view week, it's 8 hours in 3 days in a row. It's like, and TNA Impact is on that day too at 9 o'clock. So it's like, how much wrestling can there possibly be? But whatever.
Yeah, they try to kill TNA.
TNA keeps moving around. They've been on every day of the week, I think, except Saturday. And eventually, that's where they're going to end up. They're going to end up on like a Saturday because it's the one day WWE has ever put anything on. Anymore. They used to, but not anymore. And then WWE
like
will probably move
day.
A show there. They'll probably move a show there as soon as they do. It's like, just come on. Stop trying to kill today. Let them be. They ain't hurting y'all.
Damn. All right, man.
And this has been fantastic, man. I appreciate you hanging out for basically the entire hour. That's a lot of fun, man. Thank you for that.
No problem. All right. No problem.
You have yourself a good Memorial Day weekend, man. I will see you at Comic-Con, at Awesome Con, if I don't see you before then.
Yeah, because I ain't going to see you at Ninja Turtles.
Nope. I Tim and I are hosting Coming Attractions that night, so I will be everything. I'm not going to see anything.
Yeah.
And I want to see Ninja Turtles bad, too, to be honest.
Because it got Krang in it. It's got
Krang and Casey Jones. And Brian T.
It's got everything.
Excited.
Yes. That's going to be
and
good.
And Baxter Stockman, right. Even though it's Tyler Perry. But okay.
Hey, it's all good. He's black. That's what I care about. Black Baxter Stockman. Like in the comic book. Black, like you're supposed to be.
All right, my friend. I'll talk to you later. Have a good weekend.
All right, man. You too. Peace.
All right. That was Julian Leto, man. I love that guy. He's a lot of fun. He can argue a lot, too. As you heard, we just spent an hour talking about this stuff, and he's great to talk to. All right, so we are running out of time. Shoot. God, that hour went fast. But thanks, everybody, for tuning in for Cinema Royale. It's our X-Men Apocalypse and Alice Through the Looking Glass and a whole bunch of other stuff, too. This is Memorial Day weekend, so you guys go ahead and have yourself a safe trip if you're going anywhere or if you're hanging out in your house. Relax. It's hot out. Just chill. Next week, it is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows. But like you just heard me tell Julian, I am going to be occupied screening it, so I'm going to try my best to see it at some point and then get around to talking about it. But we may end up taking, or we, I say we as if it's more than one person on the show. I may be taking next week off, but I will keep you up to date. Just follow Cinema Royale on Facebook for updates, okay? So thank you very much for tuning in. I'm Travis Hobson. This has been Cinema Royale. I'll talk to you later. Goodbye.